This week on Business Brief, we'll learn about the current state of an industry that's been around for centuries, the fur trade. Then we'll hear about challenges and resources for women entrepreneurs here in Missouri. Welcome to Business Brief, Missouri Business Alert's podcast focused on the business news and issues shaping the state. My name is Siggy Reese, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ansley Franco. Ansley, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing so awesome. I'm totally looking forward to spring break next week.
Me too. What are you going to be doing?
I'm going to be going to Mexico to visit my dad. I haven't been down there in a while, so I'm pumped to go back and visit him.
That's exciting. You're going to the beach, anything like that?
Yeah, I think we're going to go over to Cabo for a few days, but He lives outside of Guadalajara, which is like very central in Mexico, So just mountains over there. What about you?
I'm going to be traveling to Seattle, Washington, which is really exciting. I've never been to the Pacific Northwest, so a couple
what
friends
for?
And I are going. We're just going to see what it's like up there, and then we're also going to go to Canada for a day. Crazy.
That's so exciting.
I know.
Can't forget your passport?
No, of course not.
Yeah.
They were like, when we booked the tickets, they're like, don't forget. And I was like, oh yeah, we're going to another country. That's kind of crazy.
Well, that sounds like a blast.
Yes. You too. I mean, you're also traveling outside the country.
Mm-hmm.
Look at us. Travelers.
International.
International travelers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, are you ready to get into this week's headlines?
For sure.
Let's do it. The Federal Reserve Bank held interest rates steady for the fifth consecutive time at its meeting this week. Federal Reserve officials say they expect inflation to cool this year and project three interest rate cuts in 2024. However, this cooling may be slower than previously anticipated.
Google announced plans Wednesday to build a $1 billion data center in Kansas City. This will be the internet company's first data center in the state. Google's proposed facility is expected to create up to 1,300 jobs, according to state officials.
Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City plans to expand to southwest Missouri. The expansion will bring pediatric care to Mercy Hospital Springfield. The hospitals did not disclose details of the arrangement. Mercy Hospital's agreement with the Kansas City Pediatric Hospital means it'll exit a previous pediatric care partnership with Cox Health, a Springfield-based health system. The Springfield hospitals announced their agreement last November, and Cox Health officials expressed surprise over Mercy's new plans.
Democratic U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren is asking the Missouri Higher Education Loan Authority, or MOHELA, to testify in front of a Senate subcommittee in April. Warren wants the lender to answer for problems its borrowers have faced in the past few months, including billing errors and long phone wait times. This comes nearly 6 months after federal student loan payments resumed, following a three-year pandemic pause.
Unionized Kansas City area nurses at Research Medical Center and Menorah Medical Center began contract negotiations this week and say they are prepared to strike if necessary. About 1,000 nurses are advocating for increased support and staffing levels. HCA Healthcare, the owner of the two hospitals, says its staffing is appropriate. The nurses' contract expires at the end of May.
Missouri Secretary of State and Republican gubernatorial hopeful Jay Ashcroft says he wants to eliminate the state's income tax through state budget cuts. Currently, the income tax accounts for $2 out of every $3 in the state's general revenue fund. Ashcroft says he's in favor of generally repealing the income tax, rather than doing it all at once. State Senator Bill Eigel and Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, who are also both vying for the GOP gubernatorial nomination, are in favor of eliminating the state income tax as well.
We will return to Business Brief after this quick message from our sponsors.
Are you ready to be inspired? Since 2013, That's What She Said has provided a platform for women's powerful voices, strengthening communities across the country. On Saturday, April 13th at 7 p.m. at the Missouri Theater, the second annual That's What She Said Columbia, presented by Stevens College, will feature the powerful stories of 10 women from our community. 25% of the ticket sales will support maternal health initiatives via the Boone Hospital Foundation and MU Healthcare. Find us at facebook.com/shesaidcomo and purchase your tickets now.
Hey Ansley, what do you know about Missouri's fur industry?
It was a huge market like 200 years ago, right?
That's true, but it actually still exists today. The fur industry has shrunk and changed over the years, but some trappers and sellers are finding new income opportunities.
Huh, I had no idea. I'm interested to learn more.
So am I. Missouri Business Alert reporter Skylar Rossi has the story.
Two reds, two Drift right there. What do you say? $10 and let's go. $10.
Trappers stack piles of fur pelts on a large conveyor belt as people set up for the annual Missouri fur auction. Many had been trapping all winter in hopes of making a few hundred dollars during the auction, which is the biggest fur buying and selling event in the state. The pelts make their way to the end of the belt, where interested buyers closely inspect their options and prepare to place bids. An auctioneer calls out different prices, sometimes starting at just a few bucks, but other times more.
$25 on number two.
Trappers brought in the pelts of fur bearers, like coyotes, raccoons, and muskrats. A popular item this year is beaver. The pelts are in high demand due to the popular show Yellowstone, which increased the popularity of cowboy hats made from beaver fur. Others were looking to stock up on some more unusual items.
My biggest sellers are raccoon penises, and then my second best seller is toad purses.
That's Ben Trumbly. He's the owner of Midwest Taxidermy, which offers a range of items from taxidermied squirrels to beaver skulls. He says he brings in more than $200,000 annually selling those items. Items that many fur trappers traditionally would deem useless.
Utilizing it, the skull's almost worth more than the hide anymore.
Trappers must follow a set of rules dictated by the state, like checking traps every day and set seasons for harvesting furs. The auction is hosted by the Missouri Trappers Association, a group of trappers that follow a code of ethics. The fur industry has shrunk as anti-fur activism has increased and new trade tariffs have downsized international sales. Up until a few decades ago, a successful trapping season would yield significant revenue. Now, trappers are pleased to walk away with $1,500.
There was a time in the 80s when guys would go out and they'd trap all winter long and then they could go buy a brand new pickup truck with the money that they got from trapping. Those days are long over. they're not coming back.
Charles Samuels is the president of the Missouri Trappers Association and has been trapping for decades. While some trappers are making new income selling skulls, tails, and claws, he says others are now catching animals that pose a risk to property and livestock. Jim Love has been in the damage control industry for more than 20 years. He owns Advanced Wildlife Control, which is based in Sullivan and services the area between St. Louis and Rolla. He says there's a lot more competition in the space than when he first entered the industry.
When I first started this 23 years ago, there was me and one other guy in the service area. We had it all. Now, I'm running against about 4 to 5 other companies in my area.
As more people enter the industry, Love says he's working with a group of operators in hopes of establishing a set of ethical standards.
One bobcat right there. What do you say? $50 worth?
Back at the auction, 20. Trumbly stands next to a handwritten sign at his table that reads buying skulls and peckers. He sees the future of trapping focusing more on businesses like his, ones that are using all parts of the animal.
These guys' way of conservation is different than what I think a conservation is, you know. And even like the younger generation, the more you use of an animal, the more accepting they are of something.
This story is part of a collaboration with KBIA. You can learn more about Missouri's fur industry at MissouriBusinessAlert.com or KBIA.org.
For our next story, I interview Jamie Pringer, the director of Missouri Women's Business Center, an organization that assists entrepreneurs through coaching, funding, and programming at no cost.
Cool. What'd you discuss?
We spoke about a notable rise in women-owned businesses nationwide and how in the past 4 years, Black women and Latina entrepreneurs have grown at a much higher rate than all women-owned businesses.
Interesting. Why did she say this was?
She said the pandemic opened up opportunities for everyone to work from home, and women took advantage of that. Despite this, women own fewer businesses compared to men, and their businesses do not generate as many jobs or as much revenue, according to a recent Wells Fargo report.
Okay, I'm curious to hear more about why.
Here's part of that conversation. Jamie, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So I would want to start with some context. From your perspective, what has been the landscape for women-owned businesses during and following the pandemic?
You know, I think it's one of those things where, really COVID opened up opportunities for everyone to work from home, and women took advantage of that, and they were able to be with their children and help them through schooling and things like that. And they were able to assist with whatever was going on at home and deal with those things, as well as work from home or side hustle. I don't know. We've all heard that women can multitask pretty well. So I think that's one of those advantages that we took advantage of.
What are some of the main challenges that the women business owners you work with are facing?
So again, time, women are pulled in so many different directions. That is definitely a barrier. So we try to help them with time management and things like that. Raising the capital. If you have a product or you need to design it, or even just paying yourself sometimes is a barrier. So, you know, figuring out what that process looks like. I met with a client yesterday. And, she doesn't have her own savings to be able to, you know, start working and growing her business. And so what are those other opportunities that she has? We offer a Kiva loan, which is a zero interest loan. And so we work with Kiva to do that for our clients. And it's a great opportunity for folks that are just getting started.
And what steps can women entrepreneurs take to expand their business and learn how to kind of go beyond their local market or region?
I believe that, the internet was out there way before COVID, but COVID really opened up that door for e-commerce. And, a lot of businesses that provide websites and e-commerce platforms became more prevalent. They're easier to use than they were even just a couple of years ago. And so to get your business up on Etsy or to start your own website, things like that, to go beyond your local market is a lot easier than it was before. And again, I think that having a coach that you meet with on a regular basis to talk through that helps you to be able to move into whatever your dreams and hopes are and get those action steps down so that you are working towards your goals, which are individuals to you.
So you just mentioned this loan that you guys offer, but what other strategies have you helped women entrepreneurs employ to overcome networking barriers and establish valuable connections?
I do believe that networking is the key to success. Everything in life is about who you know and how hard you're going to work for it. And so we offer opportunities for women every Tuesday morning. We have a Zoom call, and a lot of times we have some of the same ladies that get on there, and they're able to have great conversations. They encourage each other. They work, sometimes they refer business to each other. And so just building those relationships within our community of entrepreneurs at our center is huge and important for them.
It is now time for us to get into our words of the week. Ansley, what's yours this week?
My word is crafting.
Okay, why is crafting in the news?
Well, these days, people are doing less crafting, or at least that's what Joanne Fabric Store is claiming.
Okay, so how has this decrease in arts and crafts impacted a retailer like Joanne?
Joanne says this decrease is the reason why it recently filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Oh, wow. What does this look like for the company?
Joanne said it plans to emerge from bankruptcy as early as the end of April. After that, the chain will likely become privately owned. As for the stores themselves, Joanne doesn't plan to shutter any of its 800 stores, and they plan to operate normally.
Interesting. And how will Missouri be impacted?
Joanne has 15 stores in Missouri, but because none of its stores are closing, Missourians shouldn't worry about getting their fabric fix. That's all for me this week. What's your word, Siggy?
My words are fifth grade.
Why are we talking about grade school?
Okay, I'm not talking about the actual grade. I'm referring to the show Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, which is something I used to watch all the time growing up. What about you?
Yeah, I've seen it too. But why is it in the news in Missouri?
Okay, this has Missouri connections, I promise. So you likely know Travis Kelce. He's the tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
So he is in talks with Amazon Prime to host a reboot of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And this version will include celebrity guest contestants instead of kids. We'll have to wait and see if this actually pans out. But hey, maybe Taylor Swift really did put Travis on the map after all. That's all for me this week. For a closing thought, here's Jamie Pringer again on her advice for female entrepreneurs.
Reach out for help. There is so much help in this state, but you have to ask and you have to work for it. So if you need to take a break, that's not a big deal at all. But stay after it and make sure that you ask for help. So meeting with a coach one-on-one on a regular basis, even if you don't even know what you're doing or why you're doing it, having that continual contact with a coach who will help walk you through the process is going to be very pivotal in the success of your business.
Well, that is all for this week. The M33 Project provided the music for this episode. From my co-host Ansley Franco, editors Brianna Davis, Gabriella Lacey, Sharon Rickabdar Xavier, Skylar Rossi, and Michael Stacey, I'm Siggy Reese, and this has been Business Brief. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.